Let us pray together, shall we? Lord, thank you that you are a gift to us. We adore you, Lord. We want to honor you, Lord, with all our hearts, in sincerity, in truth. You know, this is our desire. That's the reason we are here. So we welcome you, our King, our Lord, our friend, our husband, our bridegroom, protector, strengthener, deliverer, our sound mind, Jesus, walk amongst us this morning. I felt the Lord wanted me to start by reminding you that not only is He a gift to us, did you know that you are a gift to Him? Have you ever thought of that? Today is my daughter's birthday, Anna. And she has received loads of gifts, including from Susan, the church. And I didn't see at any point she's saying, oh, I don't want this gift, I don't like this gift. But sometimes we feel like that, don't we? That God hands us to Jesus, and Jesus would say, oh, I don't quite like you. I don't really want to open you, but that's what you are to the Lord. This week, is that too loud because it's too near? Or is that all right? Is that all right? This week, I ministered to someone who doesn't know the Lord. I know that person well. And she is a real wonderful professional. She helps an awful lot of people in very difficult times, in very practical ways. The worst of someone's life, really, when someone is dying and they need practical help, and that's what that person does. And I have seen how good she is at her work. Yet, she doesn't feel like it at all. She doesn't feel valued or valuable. She doesn't feel precious. She doesn't feel like a gift. And I had to say to her, you are a gift. I said, I want you to know that you are a gift. I didn't use those words. But you know, she, to me, is such an expression of you and me, of the body of Christ, of the church. Because very often, we do not see ourselves as precious and as gifts. And I feel the Lord wants me to say this to you today, that you are a gift And I believe he's going to speak very clearly to each one of us here. Otherwise, it would be no point me standing here before you. So would you open your words with me to the book of 1 Corinthians 12. First Corinthians 12, starting at verse 12. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some of us are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, "I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand," that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, "I am not a part of the body because I am not an eye," would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. Let's stop there. You know, in the last few Sundays that I have been here, I heard two testimonies. One testimony from Chat, and one testimony from Tom. And they really were wonderful, encouraging testimonies that stayed with me, because they are a gift to us, aren't they? Do you agree with that? That what they shared was a gift. You probably can remember parts of it that has influenced you. Well, can I turn that around? Did you know that you are a gift to a lot of people? Now, you might not feel like it, just like my friend didn't. Nevertheless, you are. Yes, but I am not an eye. I was just, as I was reading it, can you imagine a massive eye walking around? Would be all seeing, but that would be it. Would have no voice, would have no hearing, probably couldn't walk. It couldn't touch. It wouldn't be very useful. And yet, many of us say, well, that person is an eye. I want to be an eye. Or, well, I'm not happy to be a hand. I want to be a foot. And so it goes. And we are not actually being the gift that we are made to be. One thing that I have noticed again and again in very successful ministries, either successful by the world's standard, they are on TV, they are known around the world, they write books, or by the standards of God, which is working really well, is when that toe accepts that that toe is a toe and that it's very important for the balance of the body, and it works as a toe the best it can with God. And it's incredible because that toe becomes so powerful and so big that everyone acknowledges that toe. But it's very interesting that an ear or an eye that keeps thinking that they are less than they are not working properly, and they disabled part of the body. Did you know that someone who doesn't have visual on one eye. Well, I don't know if they are allowed to drive in this country, but I don't think they would be. Are they allowed? Are they allowed? You are allowed to drive. But it disabled you quite a lot not to be able to see perhaps everything that's going there. I mean, do you feel pleased, Jackie, that you don't have sight on one eye? Would you rather have sight on that eye? Do you understand that very often we think we are not as precious, as important, and as cherished, and as a gift as we are? I want to give a word that I felt during the worship that came to me. I remember someone saying that to me when I first became a Christian. And funny enough, I'm reading a Corrie ten Boom every morning. You know, a short Corrie ten Boom. She was in the concentration camp. She was a Christian who hid Jews. And she has a devotional, a very old one. And she said that, and that really encouraged me. And I believe that's for someone here. When you are in your life, and I think that would be within the body of Christ, and you look outside, you look to others, and you say, they are not doing their job properly, they are not doing a good job, you will feel very negative. If you look inside, if you look into yourself, and you start looking inward, you feel discouraged. So you either feel negative as you look out, or you feel discouraged as you look in. But when you look to Jesus and you put your faith in the Lord, you will be who you are called to be. Then you encourage those outside, you are built up, and you grow. And I feel this is a word for some of us here in the congregation, that our eyes have been focused on others, or it has been focused on ourselves so much. And what we really need to do is to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Simple, isn't it? And yet we struggle to do that. Could you say with me, I'm actually a gift? Can you say that? Do you struggle saying that? No? Good. One. Say again, I am a gift. Can you close your eyes now and see Jesus before you? And see Jesus looking at you, if you may, with your imagination, with the eyes of your mind, as Scripture tells us. Let him look at you. See him smile at you. Big smile of satisfaction, of love. And now I want you to think of yourself as a gift, as a special part of the body. And without you there, the body can't function properly. And he is eagerly looking to you to do that little thing that is so precious in his sight. It might be little, it might be big, but it's very important. You never know to him how important it is. You are a gift. I just want to give some examples, actually. I don't know many of you, so I can't speak about many of you. But I can speak about a couple of people. I had a conversation over the summer with Andrew about gifts and stuff like that. And one thing that I realized, that sometimes our gifts are hidden underneath so many other responsibilities and musts and haves to and shoulds, because that's what other people expect of us, or life expects of us, or even work expects of us. When I applied for part of my job It's with the hospice. I'm a chaplain to the Norfolk Hospice. When I applied for that job, I really didn't think I would get it. And I gave up actually very quickly afterwards because I knew the hospices has got a lot to do with the Queen. And in fact, the vicar to the Queen comes to the hospice, you know, in Sandringham. So it's quite, I felt they will want someone who is definitely a priest from the Church of England and will have the color and all that. And I knew there are people like that applying. So in some ways, I thought this is even silly for me to apply, but I applied. And I got the job. And I was so surprised that afternoon when I got the CEO said, the moment you came in, I knew you were the right one. And I thought, really? I really thought I was at the bottom of the pile. And I decided that I had to be myself in that hospice. You know, I couldn't try to be like a priest. I can't try to be like someone that I am not. I can only be myself. If that works, good. If not, they will fire me. I need to trust God in that. But you know, again and again, I have seen God move through that. And you know, I'm exercising my gift right now. I know it's a gift. I could actually have sinned this morning. I could be living in, I could have been looking at pornography. Thank goodness I was not. I could be having an affair. I could, I might shock you, you know, I could do awful things behind the scenes and I could come here and minister to you and God used me. Because that was one of the biggest shocks I had, that God can use anyone he likes. Doesn't God mind sin? Oh, yes. The Bible says, do not be deceived, brethren. What you sow, you will reap. But God loves people so much that he uses a donkey to get his message across. But we don't really believe it, you see. We don't believe 1 Corinthians 1. I have chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. I have seen that happen. But when people use their gifts, it's something very powerful. And very, it's a big responsibility before the Lord as well, if you are doing it in that context. But you know, that's the reason you should not never follow a man. You've got to follow God. And you've got to use your gift. Obviously, may God have mercy on anyone who would come and speak his word and minister and be what God has called them to be. However, still hide things behind the scenes. May God have mercy on us. And you know, we know that has happened a lot.